and Sammy David. Big Picture Science is produced at the SETI Institute, where scientists study the origin and nature of life. And a big thanks also to our listeners.
Your ears have been attuned to Look Who's Not Talking. If you crave more Big Picture Science, you'll find it in our archive at bigpicturescience.org.
And if you're a podcast listener but prefer over-the-air radio, because after all, you're trying to make at least a pretense of not being a slave to the internet, check out the listing on our website of radio stations that carry the program. And if your local station is not on that list, consider letting them know you like the show.
Do you have a comment, a criticism, or a suggestion? Well, throw in some faint praise and email it all to bigpicturescience@seti.org.
And then, after I trained the chicken to fight like a ninja, I dressed it in black leather and threw it in the air, where it broke apart and turned into 100 gold coins that fell to the ground. Would you like to see them?
Oh my God, this cat can also open a can of beer. Check out this video.
This is 1054, from Salem Park, Michigan. You are listening to WHFR, Dearborn. The station making waves.
Season and greetings. You are listening to a pre-recorded impact program. The following does not necessarily reflect the views of Henry Ford College, the WHF staff, and members. All right, once again, good afternoon, and this is Betty Daniels, and I want to welcome you to Impact. And in the studio, I have Sandy with us, and I want Sandy to give us her full name and title and the organization that she represents.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Sandy North, and I'm the Executive Director for the Remember Me Quilt Project of Michigan, The Innocent Faces of Gun Violence.
All right. Now, tell us a little bit of what is Remember Me...
Quilt Project.
Quilt Project, okay. How did you come to be, and who are you, and what is it that you do, exactly that you do?
Sure. I was the coordinator for the Wayne County Organizing for Action Gun Violence Prevention Committee. Mm-hmm. And this background is important to understand how we got to where we are today. The committee did all kinds of activities to prevent gun violence, rallies, petition signing, phone banking. And after each event, we would come back and we would talk about whether or not the event was successful. And always the turnout was great. But when we talked about, do we have a real true impact, the answer was no. Nobody felt that they were really having an impact. And we immediately identified two things that we needed to do. One was to change from the horrific statistics, because the statistics are terrible. You know, 30,000 people die of gun violence every year, the mass shootings. But they're numbers. And we knew we needed to change from the numbers to the real actual people. The second thing we felt was that most of the statistics were from other areas of the country, you know, Colorado and Sandy Hook, etc., and that they were not representative of what was happening in Michigan. So we wanted to change to actual people and the people that we lose every single day on our streets in Michigan. And we didn't have a vehicle. We sat right. talking about, okay, now we know what we need to do.
All right.
But
all
what's
right.
the vehicle that we do that through? And we were lucky. One of the members on the committee and one of the founding members of the Quilt Project was a curator of the Henry Ford Estate in Dearborn. And she said, how about a quilt? And we all went, of course. Why didn't we think of that several months ago?
All right.
This model didn't fit with what OFA, Organizing for Action, wanted to do. They had a different model. And so with their blessing and ours, we said goodbye and we started the Remember Me Quilt Project of Michigan,
right.
The Innocent Faces of Gun Violence.
Okay. And I, although we have a listening audience, Sandy brought one of the quilts that she had displayed at the consortium where I first met her. And it's originally we were going to set it up in the studio because she was, when I was making the arrangements for the interview, she was saying that it helps that if you are able to view the quilt during the interview because it gives you a sense of what it is you're talking about. It kind of gives you we call it a mental mindset, if that's mm-hmm. that'd be the word. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was a good idea, but Sandy and I have a similar energies, right? So I thought it would be good that if we had the, instead of having the quilt displayed directly just for us, I thought it would be good if we could share it with the community that's outside of this particular radio the studio itself. So Sandy and I, we set it up, and but where it is not in the studio directly. It's outside the studio, and we're looking through the studio window into the main corridor that of the student activities building. So as Sandy and I are talking, she and I can look at the quilt, and as she says, there are faces. So the statistic has been translated into a face. And as we're talking, I'm noticing how students are stopping and looking. Mm-hmm. And observing, and that's exactly what you wanted from the quilt. Is that correct?
Absolutely, and that's the response we had because we exhibited at the Democratic conference this last week, the political issues,
okay.
And we had so many students stop and look at them, but then want to come over and ask more questions.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really impressed with the student body from the universities that were here,
mm-hmm.
and how many young men came. And mm-hmm. how they identified because of the age of the population.
Right, right. And the consortium she's talking about is the consortium for, I guess it's political science students.
Mm-hmm.
And they were having a caucus where they were making their voices heard, and they had different issues that they were working on. So, and these are the type of people that you want to get the information out to, is that correct?
Absolutely. And the project was started as a... created as a nonpartisan
mm-hmm.
and nonprofit 501c3,
mm-hmm.
and the purpose was to educate the public about who was really being killed.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go back to two misconceptions that we found as we started the project.
Mm-hmm.
One of them, people who live in inner cities and areas of high crime often said to us, people in suburbia don't care about us and care what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
The other misconception was from people in the suburbs who thought that if you were getting murdered, that probably you were a substance abuser, a drug dealer, or a gang member. Those two things could not be more incorrect. The public felt that. And you know what happened? We don't even have to say anything because when we show the quilts, people look at that, and on those quilts, they can see that it's everybody. Gun violence is affecting everyone.
And if those of us who have been, watching the news, we're going to see more and more of that. That those who are dying from gun violence are all over.
Absolutely.
Okay. It has no, they does not discriminate, not only against race, creed, gender, or what have you,
uh-huh.
area.
Area, absolutely. Okay. The other thing is that we are not opposed to the Second Amendment,
mm-hmm.
that we do not support any candidates or any specific issues. The goal is to let people know who is being murdered so that, and it truly, the quilts touch people's hearts,
mm-hmm.
which changes their mind,
okay.
which will determine their actions.
All right, now you use the term murdered. What about accidental gun violence?
For example, we don't put suicide victims on here.
All right.
And it breaks our heart because people ask us sometimes if we can include somebody. I was presenting to an interfaith group, and one of the ministers raised his hand and said, "What about people who die in the service?" And the reality is, first of all, you cannot be on our quilt if you're a felon. There's mm-hmm. are innocent people. They're not felons.
All right.
You can't be on the quilt if you have been shot in the commission of a crime. And we do not put people in the quilt who have an occupation that puts their lives in danger because they've taken that occupation on is what they want to do.
Okay.
They're not innocent victims.
Okay. Do you get the challenge that people say, let's say the children are in the home, okay, and they're playing Russian roulette, that type of thing. Those children would not go in the quilt?
Yes, they would. Yeah.
They would go, okay.
Yeah, absolutely. They aren't committing a crime. They are innocent victims if somebody has left a gun around.
Okay.
And I think what we're doing when the public sees this, and we'll talk about the victims in a second, but right now I just want to say the youngest victim on our quilt was a 9-month-old baby,
Yes.
And we'll talk more about him in a minute.
All right. Now, there are different groups, chapters? Because I know when I saw you, you had about three or four different quilts that were being displayed. Right now we're looking
okay.
at the quilt, and the quilt that we're looking at now is from where?
Okay, first of all, because three founding members were part of that original committee on gun violence. Mm-hmm. Two of them are Dearborn residents.
Right.
It has a lot to do with this. But anyhow, we decided that it's a statewide project. But when you first start, I have to tell you, too, the listening audience needs to know, we're just in our second year.
Okay.
This is just our second year, and it's had such an impact. So, but anyhow, so when we started, we did that what we call the Tri-County area.
All right.
And people could submit photographs of their loved one, which we would put on a quilt.
Right.
Towards the end of our first year, we decided that we wanted to branch out statewide, so we went to Genesee County, and so the first three quilts are Tri-County area, the fourth quilt is Flint, the city of Flint. They're all from the city of Flint on that quilt.
I'm going to pause here for just a second, okay? All right, we were talking about the collaborative organizations that you're working with and the people, the different organizations. You were talking about the police chiefs that you met with?
Yeah, first of all, we exhibited at the Michigan Association Chiefs of Police, 3-day conference in Lansing, and 350 police chiefs from all over the state were there and got to see our quilts and learn about us. So as we begin to move across the state, we have those contacts. But we also have great contacts with the chief of police in Flint, the police chief in Dearborn. We do national night out to prevent crime violence with the police departments. So it's a community effort, not just with the police departments, but with so many organizations, and we'll talk a little bit about that in the presentations.
Okay, and as she was sharing this particular thing, when we're looking out of the window, and the quilts really are accomplishing what you want. The lady is sitting down, and she's actually studying this, okay? And that's what you want, right?
Absolutely. That's one person now that has a better idea of who is being murdered, and when she looks at that, so that when some legislation comes up, that each individual will be able to now take their heart and mind to determine their action.
Okay.
And they're less apt to stay at home and say, oh, I don't, it's raining today, I'm not going to go. They're going to say, I saw those quilts. Let me give you another example about the quilts that the families that we work with said that their loved ones were forgotten.
Right.
Okay, that's a real fear of the families, and we know that if you lose anybody, that shortly people don't say their name anymore, etc. But in this case, because they were murdered and taken from them, that was the common statement that they made. Now they say, my loved one's not forgotten. They're on that quilt, and everybody can see them, and that's what we're experiencing here. And as equally important is they're not just there as a memorial, which is what the quilts are, but they're there, they have a visual voice, not just a visual presence that shouts out.
Yes, and that is something about grief of when it's a part of a violent loss, all right? All grief, death of someone close to you is a lifelong process after the event occurs, but in addition to that, when you lose someone by violence, the impact on the person is even more traumatic.
Especially if the person is innocent. And the other thing you need to know is that I think only two or three people on all of our quilts did they catch the perpetrator and try them and convict them. And I'll talk about that on the when we talk about the other victims.
All right.
But that's also a loss to the family.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing is it's a loss to our communities as a whole.
Right.
What would that nine-month-old baby grown up to be?
Okay.
And how, what would he provide? What about that little twin, the little girl walking to school?
Right.
So it's a loss to their family, but also a loss to the community as a whole.
And not only is there a loss, but then there's a lasting impact. That trauma impacts the community, the person, all the family members, all the people who knew that person. All right. So there are other victims in addition to the one who died.
Absolutely. And I think if the quilts play a part in making these people not forgotten and also helping the families heal, it doesn't go away.
Right.
But I can give you an example. We were taping for Channel 4, and we had parents and families come in, and one of the moms raised her hand, and she said, if I had not had a call on December 23rd, I wouldn't have been here on Christmas night, and that helps the healing.
Yes, yes, and it also gives them a sense of empowerment, do you think?
Yes, I do. I do. You know, and I think the way that we work with other organizations and pulling people together and the selection process we go through to determine what we're going to do also adds to that. For example, Fallen Angels Night at Church of Messiah in Detroit.
All right.
You know, they come in and they have an angel with their loved one's name on it.
Right.
And they can put that up on the board. And they say the loved one's name and a bell is rung.
All right.
That's part of that healing. Is it's a community coming together.
All right.
To make sure that their loved ones are not forgotten. Now, also, some of the groups we work with do counseling.
Mm-hmm.
And also, they work with the police departments to reopen these cases.
Right.
We ask if anybody knows anything about one of these cases, come forward, call Crime Stoppers. It's anonymous. It might be a young person who was murdered 5 years ago and you knew something but you were frightened, but now you're an adult and
yes,
you want to make
yes.
a difference.
All right. Now,
how random it is. That's why we don't, it's unusual to catch the perpetrator, much less try and convict them, because these are random shootings. There's no connection between the victim and the perpetrator.
Okay.
So let me talk about a couple. We talked about the children, but there's a minister on this quilt.
Okay.
He was driving in his car.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about it could be you, it could be me, it could be my daughter. It was a minister. The Detroit 300 is a very prominent Detroit organization that works with making Detroit a safer, more secure place.
Mm-hmm.
One of the co-founders, Marcel Jackson, is on our quilt.
Mm-hmm.
He owned a security company, and on weekends he would go down to venues in Detroit where he had his security staff working. This night he went down to make sure everything was okay. There had been a confrontation between a man and a woman. His security team was exiting a man through from the restaurant. They told him he hadn't hit her, he hadn't had a gun, and there was no reason to call the police. It was get in your car, go home, and cool off.
Okay.
He got in his car, went home, and got a friend and an AK-47, came back by, and shot the security guards outside the restaurant. Marcel was murdered. He left his wife and six children. But this is, you talked about how it expands and has an impact,
yes.
And I talked about the future.
All right.
2 weeks after his murder, Marcel and his best friend, who also owns a security company, tried to make Detroit safer, were to roll out a night watch program.
Right.
All the people were lined up, volunteered with their cars. They had all of the cell phones lined up. It was all ready to roll. It never happened. Because he was murdered. So we need to realize the importance of doing something so nobody else is murdered for the families and for ourselves.
Okay, and now that gets into the lost, all right? That the effort that was going to be impact the community was lost.
That's right. That's right. And you were talking about that happens with grief,
yes,
too, how
yes.
grief goes out, but the loss goes out to everybody.
Yes, yes.
We also have a young man on here, because we're talking about loss of future,
all right.
who's raised by his grandma.
Okay.
She's on our board. She's a lovely person.
All right.
And he graduated high school with honors,
mm-hmm.
and she was one of the people interviewed by Channel 4, and they said, what did he want to be with his life? And she said, he always wanted to be a Michigan State police officer.
Okay.
And they said, why? And she said, since he was a wee little boy, he always thought their uniforms were so spiffy.
Oh.
And of course, we all laughed. But she raised him. He went off to college,
mm-hmm.
had honors, all A's that first year, came home.
Mm-hmm.
And we referred to why the black men are, young men are on the streets.
Mm-hmm.
He said to his grandma, I know it's my first night home, but could I please take my girlfriend out?
All right.
She said, get out of here. Go on. Like a good grandma would do.
Right, right.
He took her to dinner, dropped her off at home,
mm-hmm.
was walking back about 10 blocks from
mm-hmm.
her house to his grandma's house.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody shot and murdered him for a few dollars in his pocket.
All right.
He will never be a Michigan State police officer.
All right.
Lost, terrible loss to his family, but a loss to us. And
all
maybe
right.
he would have been more than a police officer. Maybe he would have been chief of the state police. You do not know who you're losing.
All right. Question. Someone from the suburbs might say, well, That's Detroit. Why should I be worried about it out here?
You are a good announcer here, radio person. I was going to go to that one next. Let's go to Troy, Michigan.
All right.
A young man, 19, mm-hmm. driving his car. He stops for a railroad crossing.
All right.
When I do a presentation, I always ask first, how many of you have ever stopped at a railroad crossing? And everybody raises their hand. And if they don't, I all call right. them on it. I say, don't you drive? And then,
yes.
you know, and their hand goes up. So he was stopped, and I'm not trying to make light of it. I'm trying to show people it could be anybody.
Right.
And attempted robbery, and they shot and killed him.
Mm-hmm.
His dad was just retired from the Troy Fire Department and
right.
now lost his, he has two sons, lost one of his sons.
Right.
So these things can happen anywhere. We have women on the quilts, too, and we haven't talked about them, but, you know, it gives the family some help to know that their loved ones are now going to be seen. But shows like this help us get the word out.
All right.
People who have a loved one on the quilt,
right.
there's no cost to the quilters who piece a quilt for us.
Okay.
So families provide a picture electronically, if they can.
All right.
But sometimes the victim's death was long ago and they don't have one.
Mm-hmm.
But if we have an electronic picture, we can get better quality from it than if we have to scan a picture.
Okay.
We then take the pictures and we transfer them to a block.
Okay.
Okay. And then the block, and those of you can't see the quilt, each block is the same with the face of the victim's name, the date of their birth, and the date that they were murdered.
Okay.
In the center of the quilt is a large block that says, Remember Me.
All right.
Quilt Project. And then if you piece a quilt, your name of your organization goes in the left corner.
All right.
I'm holding up the right hand and saying the wrong way. And it will say, for example, the second quilt that we're looking at,
mm-hmm.
People who piece the quilts, we go to quilt groups and church
right.
quilting groups. The one we're looking at was pieced by the First United Methodist Church of Dearborn.
Mm-hmm.
The third quilt was pieced by the Great Lakes African American Quilt
mm-hmm.
Network.
All right.
And the fourth quilt was pieced by the Hartford Memorial Baptist Church Wednesday Night Quilting Sisters.
Okay.
So this is one of the ways you involve a lot of people who want to make a change in gun violence, and this gives them a way that they can do it.
Okay. All right. This is Betty Daniels from Impact on the Fourth Tuesday, and I have Connie here in the studio with me. And Connie, why don't you introduce yourself to our audience and tell them a little bit about yourself.
Hello, everyone. My name is Constance Williams. As Betty introduced me as Connie, that's what I like to be called. I am the mother of two, Justin and Jalea. My son was murdered in 2013, July 5th, 2013. And I work for the city of Detroit, coming up on retirement.
Okay. And how did you come to become involved with the Remember Me, it's almost like a tongue twister, Remember Me Quilt Project?
I came to be involved with the Remember Me Quilt Project a couple months after my son was murdered.
All right.
I got a phone call from a friend,
mm-hmm.
Catherine Phillips. Catherine told me that she had a friend who was in a similar circumstance as
mm-hmm.
myself, in that her son had been murdered some years earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And she told me, you know, Connie, I just want you to talk to her. She has an organization, Mothers of Murdered Children. I'm not advocating for you to join that group, but I just want you to talk to her because I think you might be on the same lines with her in terms of the things that she's doing to try to come to terms with, you know, what has happened.
Mm-hmm.
So at the first meeting, Sandy North and the Quilt Project, she had a team of ladies with her, and this was the first quilt that they were going to be doing.
All right.
And so they gave us an overview of what the purpose of the quilt was, and you know, just the benefits of
right
of participation with
right.
the quilt.
Right.
And I thought, you know, immediately, like, wow, this is great, an opportunity for my son's face to be on a quilt. You have all of these faces on this quilt, so you're able to put a face to you know, the gun violence victims, because, you know, oftentimes they're referred to as a number or John Doe. No, these are actual people.
Yes.
Who had, you know, families that loved them.
And not a statistic.
Not a statistic. Right. Absolutely. You see it. You see his name. This is a person. Justin Williams is a person. So immediately I was like, oh, yeah. I'm all in. You know, I didn't know what the group Mothers of Murdered Children wanted to do, but for myself, I was like, oh, yeah, this is something I definitely want to do.
All right.
Because the quilt, you know, travels from place to place, and it's just an opportunity just for exposure.
All right. And as we were talking earlier, you were saying that this happened in 2013?
Correct.
Okay. What has been your, what's your impression now, two years later, as to, you know, what the quilt is, how the quilt is being received and that type of thing?
I think the quilt is well received. It's kind of bittersweet for me because I believe there are four quilts now.
Yes.
And what that means is, I don't remember how many people were on a quilt.
Yes.
But that means that now we have four quilts of people who were taken from this world.
Right, right.
By gun violence.
Right, and right.
That bothers me. But at the same time, again, we have a face for these people.
As you were describing that, I was also thinking, you were saying it's a way of impressing upon the viewer that this person was lost by violence. I was also thinking that that's a way also, but in addition to that, of your son continuing on.
Yes. Absolutely.
Right.
Because, you know, when Sandy contacts me and tells me the different places that the quilt is on display, I do my best to get there. The quilt isn't changing, right?
Right.
But just to go and to see it on display and to see the numbers of people that have an opportunity to view it, it does something to my soul.
So when Sandy, now Connie and I are doing an interview that's about a month or so after I had the interview with Sandy, but at that time that Sandy was here, she was going to have put the quilt up here in the studio for me to view as we were talking, and then I thought, well, no, why don't we put it out there displayed in the window, and during this program you'll hear some of the responses and stuff of the previous broadcast, but just what you were saying, people would walk. They couldn't just walk by. It brought their attention. Okay. And then they began to look, and then people began to share. And it brought a whole different discussion and things like that. So in addition to the horrific and the way your son died, this was him being viewed. He was making a statement, a quiet, subtle statement. So and it was not violent, but it was stirring up an equal amount.
You're spot on. You got it. The thing is, I was talking to Sandy last Friday when we were setting it up for me to come and do the interview, and she was explaining exactly what you just said, Betty, about the quilts being outside, and she, you know, kind of gave me, I was able to visualize the people coming, and I mean, she went so far as to say, one young man looked and, you know, not just in passing, it's like he stopped and he studied it and he said a prayer.
Yes.
My goodness.
And there was all different types of responses and reactions. Sandy and I sometimes couldn't continue with the interview, just watching how people were, you know, responding to the quilt and things like that. And it is not up in your face, but it is in your face. All right. And it was a way of this young man speaking to still.
Even still, beyond the grave.
And it's not so much that you're not relating to the grave, but you're relating to the loss and you're relating to the person.
Absolutely.
All right. How does that impact? What does that do for you?
It gives me a sense of the world isn't bad. Everybody in the world is not bad. You still have compassionate people when you see the reaction of the people when they see the quilt. I've been to a couple of different displays where the quilt was. Matter of fact, on Thursday of this week, I'm going to an open arms candlelight vigil.
All right.
And the quilts will be on display there.
All right.
And every time I see it, I just like go and stand next to it and I just like look at it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm not just focusing on the one quilt that my son is on.
Right.
But now I think there's four quilts now. I think I had seen three quilts. So now I have to go and I have to kind of familiarize myself with this additional quilt. And it's just, it's powerful.
All right. Were, I know, now you said you were part of the first quilt. Did they at that time did they have in place the part where the family members would be taking the pictures with the quilt and getting a piece of the yarn? Was that something that?
Yep, that's something we did. I actually stitched my son's picture onto the quilt. It was initially it was pretty tough for me because you know I was just 2 months into my grief, and just the realization of what I was doing was so overwhelming, but I had to go through it. I'm like, Justin, I have to do this for you.
Right.
And I did it.
Right.
When I didn't think I could.
Okay. Okay. What about other family members? What has been their response to the quilt?
The response for the quilt, when it was finished, I don't remember if we had a meeting or if we went where it was on display at, and the ladies from the Mothers of Murdered Children group, they were very pleased with it, and the same emotions that I went through in stitching Justin's picture on the quilt, it was that same level of, you had to be there, Betty, because it was just a feeling around the room. It's like, wow, am I really doing this for my son? But at the same time, I have to do it for my son.
And I was asking you about other family members. What was their response?
That's what I'm explaining to you. It was the same. The emotions that I felt were the same emotions that they kind of...
What were some of their comments about that you could remember?
Some of the comments that I could remember is that this is really hard.
Mm-hmm.
This is really hard. We shouldn't be doing this.
Mm-hmm.
No mother should have to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Those were some of the sentiments that were shared.
Mm-hmm.
But again, the opportunity to do it, to you know, think forward that this is going to be on display for people to see. What I had explained earlier is that, okay, somebody might see this face and it might, you know, jar some recognition or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And we had that level of discussion, too,
okay,
in our group that, you know,
okay,
you never know who's going to see this. You never know who knows what. And
if you had to tell the audience or, you know, to give them a way of how to involve with this process or to come see, what would you want to say to them?
Regarding the quilt,
mm-hmm,
I would encourage every listening ear that's hearing my voice and your voice, until you see it, when you see it, I think you will be changed by it.
Okay. All
absolutely.
Right. All right. Okay. Tell me.
My son was a wonderful person, 24 years young. My son worked at Samaritan Health Center from graduation. He graduated in 2007, and he attended Wayne County Community College, and he was working at Samaritan Health Center. Actually, he was Behavior Centers of America, Circle of Life. They're all mental health agencies, and he began working there 1 year after high school, and he liked what he did so much, he was considering switching over to the nursing program. He was taking courses in business administration. My son was a really quiet guy. Always said he had quiet strength.
Okay.
That's because
most powerful strength.
Yeah. He was a man of a few words. The thing that I've said about Justin is, if I would have been given the opportunity to pick the characteristics of my son, he would be just what God gave me.
Okay.
He never gave me an ounce of trouble. He was, you know, raised in Catholic school because his mother was pretty. I had two kids and I, you know, didn't shelter them.
Right.
But I didn't want them to have issues with worldly things.
Okay.
So I remember his senior year of high school. So he went through Catholic school until the eighth grade. And then I, Catholic and Lutheran school until mm-hmm. the eighth grade. Mm-hmm. And then I had him in charter school.
All right.
I remember his senior year of high school, he was like, Mom, can I go to a regular school? I'm like, what's a regular school? You said like a Detroit public school. I'm like, oh, well, yeah, but why? Mm-hmm. He says, well, I mean, I'd like to play sports and things like that. And mm-hmm. I said, well, okay, Justin, if that's what you want to do. So he was part of the last graduating class of Murray Wright, class of 2007.
All right, okay.
And I told him, I says, okay, well, I'm going to, you know, let you do this, but... Mom dropped him off at school, even as a senior. I dropped him off at school because I never wanted to have to deal with, you know, gang violence mm-hmm. and, you know, selling drugs. And I know that there was a, what's the word I want? Yeah, the element was there. And, you know, he was raised right, as, you know, most mm-hmm. people probably are raised right, but I just didn't want that there, so mm-hmm. I felt like I needed to protect him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my son never gave me an ounce of trouble. The most I had was his mouth. But he got that from his mother. So we were good with that. I mean, he was great to his sister. It's 6 years between the two of them. Okay.
Is he the oldest or the youngest?
He's the oldest.
Okay, all right. So in other words, she didn't have a life because he was there taking care of everything, right?
Absolutely.
Been there, done that one, okay?
We often joke because my son, I mean, if you saw one, you saw the other.
Yes.
Most people would think, is that his girlfriend? No, that's right. His sister.
Right.
And we joke that Justin wanted to do whatever Jalea wanted to do. Okay. Because she's like, okay, take me to the mall. Take me here. And, mm-hmm. you know, he was working, so he's spending money on his sister. And, you know, she termed him her best friend.
All right.
So, you know, we definitely have a void when he left us.
All right. Okay. And in spite of all that you did. Okay. That is the thing I think that the Remember Me Quilt points out. That it's not the ones who are the element, as we say, that are being taken away. Okay, it's someone who, as you described your son, someone who was getting ready to go into a profession to do more for people. Okay, so, and as we probably would say during this interview, that this is a way that he is still continuing to be able to do something and have a voice.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And for a mother, how would that, having that voice does what for you?
Having that voice, definitely. I mean, I have so many memories of my son. Mm-hmm. So that keeps me going. And then knowing that this quilt project mm-hmm. is an opportunity yet again, you know, if I'm out with the quilt project, and, you know, people have come by and they're like, is someone on there related to you? And I'm like, this is my son. Mm-hmm. And they look at his picture and they're like, oh, wow. The first thing they say is, what a nice smile. Mm-hmm. But there's an opportunity for conversation.
Right.
So that keeps his memory alive because we're meeting new people.
And it's more than just a memory. Mm-hmm. It's a statement of who he was.
It's a statement. Okay. It's a statement.
Yes. So it's more than a memory. It's a statement. Mm-hmm. Okay, and I think that part of that's what Remember Me is that I have something to say. Okay?
I would agree with that,
all
Betty.
Right, and in the poem that Sandy shared, which we will share again at the end of this program, that's what it says. That's what that poem is about. I have something to say. And as you were describing your son, he's still having a quiet voice, a quiet presence.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. Connie, thank you for being a part of this interview. And yes, I'm going to see that picture. Okay. Absolutely. And this is Betty Daniels from Impact. Please stay tuned for our next interview.
Thank you.
This is Betty Daniels, and welcome to Impact. And with me in the studio, I have the family of one of the Remember Me Quilt. It's not recipients, but participants, I guess. Maybe a better way of putting that. Mm-hmm. Okay. And Holly, I want you to start off, and I'll have each one of your children introduce yourself. Gwen, we're going to start off with you. Introduce yourself again.
My name is Gwendolyn Jackson. I'm 9 years old, and I go to David Ellis Academy West.
Okay. And then Mom?
I am Holly Jackson.
Okay, and next.
My name is Tariq Jackson. I'm 15 years old, and I go to Communication and Media Arts High School.
Okay, little one.
My name is Celia Jackson, and I go to Mary School.
Montessori, right?
Montessori.
All right, okay. And my last but not least.
My name is Tamia Jackson. I'm 15 years old, and I go to...
Okay. Tamia, how did you feel about your... Is it your father?
Yes.
Okay. How did you feel about your father being on that quilt?
I felt like it was a nice thing for them to do because my dad, he was, he was a very impactful man. He always did good. And, like, I feel like because he was a part of that, like, he, like, did something for Detroit, and he was, like, just not another one of those people that just passed away. Like, he was, you know, remembered for something.
Okay. Let's go back to Miss Jackson. Okay, how did you come to find out about the quilt?
My mother-in-law, Carolyn Warrior, she called me and had told me about Sandy North.
Mm-hmm.
And Sandy called me, and we had a talk, and she was just explaining how the memory quilt had went, and how they chose Marcel to be one of the recipients to be remembered on the quilt.
Okay, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. And she asked if we can come down and help attach his picture, and so some of the quilt around his picture, and so we went down and we met with her.
Okay, Gwen. Do you remember that when you went to make the quilt for your dad?
Yes.
Okay, what did you think about it?
I was thinking, like, when I saw my dad on there, I was like, I'm going to remember my dad. I'm going to remember that he was on the quilt, and I'm going to say I love my dad, and I was just, like, really thinking about him. I was like, he is right by my side.
Okay. Tariq, what about you?
When I saw the quilt, I was actually pretty happy.
Okay.
That we weren't the only ones that were going to remember him. There's going to be other people that are dealing with the same situation. Mm-hmm. And when they see him, they'll remember him too. That he also, like my sister said, not just a random person
mm-hmm.
that passed. That he'll actually be remembered for doing something good.
Okay. When was it that you lost your father?
June 20th, 2012.
2012?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And now, has there been, and I want anyone to respond to this, has there been a change in how you felt since the time in 2012 and to now?
Yes.
And what has that been changed?
A little bit of anger and sadness.
Mm-hmm.
A mixture of that.
Okay. Can you tell me a little more about that?
With the anger and sadness, with me, since I play football, I just take it all out on there. And sometimes, you know, when I do good things in football, I say it's for him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, what about you, Tamia?
I feel like it's, ever since then, my anger has been a little off because, like, it was something, like, it was like my first time dealing with something like that, like at an age when I could understand. So, like, I knew, like, I would be, like, a little angrier or sadder at times, but even so, like, with that, it helps me to, like, appreciate life more and know, like, you never know what's going to happen.
Okay. Do you think the quilt had a lot to do with that, or is it all a combination of all of the above?
I definitely believe it's, like, everything, like, all of the above, because, like, the quilt is just, like, it's showing, like, I should, like, remember, like, the good times and stuff, but, like, don't let the bad things affect me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, all right, Holly, what about you? What was when you first started to be involved with the process, what was some of the things that you were going through, and how does it compare just to where you are now?
I thought it was a good thing because it's something that will travel around the city and travel around the state. And it's something that can have, like, a lasting memory mm-hmm. about him. And along with the quilt, they asked us to write a story mm-hmm. about the person.
Mm-hmm.
So when they display the quilts, people can also read the story behind the picture.
Mm-hmm.
So I just thought that that was a way to pay, you know, respect,
okay,
you know, and just to give awareness to the story behind the faces. And it's something that can go on and on, even though he's, you know, not here.
Okay, and what is that story?
How he was a crime fighter,
mm-hmm,
you know, and how he loved the city of Detroit and how much he loved the city of Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
And with him being involved with Detroit 300,
mm-hmm,
you know, just working so hard within the city, and everything. So just he was an all-around great person,
mm-hmm,
you know, and he always wanted to help people.
Okay, what is the Detroit 300?
The Detroit 300 is a community group that came together, started by Raphael B. Johnson,
mm-hmm,
also by Angelo Henderson.
Mm-hmm.
There was one other person that was involved with it, and my husband became a part of Detroit 300 maybe a year after they became about.
Mm-hmm.
So they just, you know, took tips, and they helped to you know, find, you know, rapists and,
mm-hmm,
criminals and murderers and everything that was out there. So they were basically like a community crime fighting group, you know.
Okay.
He had his own security company on the side,
mm-hmm,
and so he did a lot of events outside,
okay,
you know,
okay,
at different places.
All right. Now, if I understand, the those who are part of the quilt, they are the only are people who were innocent.
Okay. Yes.
And was it like a random shooting? Was it an accident where he was not even a target? Was that?
Yes.
Okay.
He just so happened to be working at a nightclub in the city of Detroit that night, and so there was a confrontation that happened inside the club,
mm-hmm,
where the guys were thrown out,
mm-hmm,
and then they came back.
Okay.
And so he wasn't the intended target.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was just, you know, they just came back and just opened fire.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Have the family gone and visit, or, you know, I know that they have presentations with the quilt in different places.
Mm-hmm.
Have any of you participated in some of those events?
We did go to a couple that,
okay,
they've had. And one of my daughters that is in school, she had went to an event that they had out here in Dearborn over,
okay,
the summer.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was to me.
No, my second oldest, who's in Michigan State.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, we have two that are not here. But,
okay.
Two, okay, oldest, Najita and Jayla.
Okay.
They're both not here at the time. They're college.
Arik, okay. Would you want to see another quilt?
Yes.
Why?
Because, one, I want to see it from 2012 till now.
Mm-hmm.
And also because I feel everybody else that lost their loved ones from,
mm-hmm,
then to now should be able to have the same feeling and comfort that we had,
mm-hmm,
back in 2012 and 2013 when they made the quilt.
All right.
So I believe that other people should be able to, you know, feel the same comfort.
All right. Okay. Good. Tamia, what about you?
Yes, most definitely. Because the quilt, it's not meant for you to, like, be sad or, like, know that the person has passed. It's meant for you to, like, remember, like, all the good times and know, like, I guess, like, know the story, because my dad, he was innocent, but he was killed. So, like, so people can know the story. And so, have, like, how my mother said, like, people can have comfort.
Mm-hmm. Okay. My little lady, do you know what the quilt is?
She was just 5.5 months when he passed away.
Okay.
So she doesn't really, I mean, she knows daddy in the picture, but she doesn't even know what happened, really.
Yes, so. But she does see daddy in the picture.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So you know,
mm-hmm,
that your daddy's in the picture?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay. Gwendolyn, what about you? Now, you're how old, Gwen?
Hmm?
How old are you?
I'm 9.
9. Okay. Okay. Do you remember the Remember Me quilt?
Uh-huh.
Okay. And what do you remember about it?
I remember, like, seeing all the faces on it, and it made me quite sad to see all the people that passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanna like thank God for just blessing my home, and I'm just thankful to have a beautiful house, and it's just, I do remember the quilt, and it was really nice for them to put my dad's face on it, and it just made me happy to see that he was still there with me.
Okay. How do you feel about the fact that the quilt does not go home with you?
You know, I never really thought of it.
Okay.
It may be because there were other people that were on it mm-hmm. as well, and I just felt like it was something that just needed to be displayed out.
Okay.
So at that moment, it doesn't only belong to us.
Right.
It belongs to everybody.
Okay. And if the people could see the studio audience, that she was saying it belonged to not just to us and everybody.
Right.
The two older start shaking their head. Yes. Yes. Okay. Right. Why is that a good thing, Melissa Tamia? Why do you think that's a good thing to be able to belong to other people?
Because, like, say if, like, we just brought home the quilt, there were, like, a lot of people, like, we didn't even know, but I guess we know what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, because, like, our main focus was our father. So, like, but there were, like, so many other family members and so many other stories on the quilt. It's not only our own story.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, those, like, they were in Detroit. So, it's, like, Detroit's story as well and what happened. So, mm-hmm. it belongs not only to us, but like the entire community.
Why is it a good thing?
It's a good thing because as like a citizen in Detroit, we all need to like come together, like know what's going on, and like try to, maybe that can like motivate people to like do better and like make a change for what's happening in Detroit, so like less killings are happening.
Okay. Do you agree, Tariq?
Okay. Yes, I agree. I believe that it should be displayed out to the community, and I believe it shouldn't belong to us only because his face is not the only one on there, and that would in a way be a little selfish
mm-hmm.
if we took it, because you know we're not the only ones that's going through what we're going through.
Did it help to be able to see other people had experiencing the same thing, that you were not alone?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
Definitely.
Why?
Because when it happened on the day, I felt like I was alone. Like, I didn't really understand, like, because I'm going to be honest, like, I didn't really care about, like, anybody else
mm-hmm.
and their story. And then that was that day. And then when I see that other people was going through it too, and we're not the only ones, because at first I felt like, why us? Like, why our family are,
mm-hmm.
you know? So when I saw that we weren't the only ones, and I felt a little sorry, but at the same time I felt what they felt.
Okay.
So you know,
what did you think it says about your dad?
Can you repeat that?
What does the quilt say about your dad? What kind of, does it attribute or does it put him out, you know, what does it say? What's the difference with that?
I believe it says, I think it's putting out there about how he's a hero.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Tamia, what about you?
I feel like it's a tribute for him, and like, because like the other people, like they were all innocent as well, so like I feel like even though they're gone, they're still remembered, and like it's like a good tribute to like just say like these people, like they deserve to be remembered.
Okay. Holly, your kids are wonderful.
Thank you.
They're doing great. And what does it say about your particular, your special person?
I say actually it's another form of therapy.
Okay.
You know, just being able to participate in something that's positive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and just getting the word out and information about gun violence.
Okay.
And victims who, you know, cases have not been solved.
Right.
So I believe that it's helping others and mm-hmm. and other people, and maybe it's a way that it can help people speak out. So
okay.
in that turn, when I'm watching the news, if we can see less of these stories,
mm-hmm.
then that can help us. And mm-hmm. that kind of helps me, because we, you know, that's, you know, we don't want to see other families have to go through the same thing that we went through.
You wanted to say one thing about the Remember Quilt. What would it be?
I would probably say, like, I'll remember you, Dad, and I love you, and I will look at the quilt one more time, and then just, like, remember the quilt.
Okay. All right, Tariq?
I would say how it's inspirational.
Okay.
It'll inspire me to do other things for other people that's going through the same thing, especially people around my age.
All right. Okay. Anthony?
I would say that the quilt is something, like, it's a great way to spread the word, but also, like, spread the memory of people and, like, how, like, things happen, but they, like, things to, like, stop, like, people can stop killing and, like, it'll just, like, draw, like, less people, like, dying and stuff like that, so.
Okay. Holly, remember me, and what would you then add?
Right. Remember me. Remember that my dying wasn't in vain.
Okay.
Remember me that to get the word out and to show that I'm the face of speaking, you know, speaking out, you know, and that there is another way to deal with situations in this community than to move and go to gun violence.
Okay, and who does that we remember? Who is it that we are remembering?
We are remembering Marcel Jackson.
Okay, thank you very much. This is Betty Daniels. I want to thank the Jackson family. They've been great. And this is Impact, and this is a part of the show that we're dealing with the Remembering Quilt.
I knew the other one was doing it. So I see our group as a facilitator as we work across the state of making people aware and putting people together that can partner.
All right.
Because I'm a firm believer that you can make a difference. I can make a difference.
Yes.
The person listening can make a difference.
Right.
But if we want to make a change, if we want to make a change, then we all need to come together.
Okay.
And I think this project is one of the ones that has the ability to do that. And part of it is because we're not taking a position on candidates or specific legislation.
Right, right. So we talked about different or groups, people who, let's say, a quilting group, and they would want to work on a quilt for this. How would they, you know, how does that work?
Okay. They can contact me.
Okay. At, get help
them again. We're going to give it again.
Yes.
But if you would like, if you, first of all, if you have a loved one and you want them on the quilt, there's no cost as long as they're not a felon.
All right.
And they were shot.
Right.
We've asked people, somebody got stabbed to death, my heart breaks, but that this quilt project has a purpose to change gun violence.
Right.
So if you lost a loved one,
right,
we would really love to add them on one of our next quilts.
All right.
If you would like to piece a quilt, the next quilt's going to be pieced by the General Henry Dearborn Historical Quilt Society.
All right.
And then we'll be looking for the next one after that.
All right.
If you want to give a donation, or if you want a presentation, you know, we present to a church group, but maybe six people in that church group belong to a Kiwanis or another organization,
right,
or they own a business and all they ask us to come out. It's all word of mouth.
All right. All
so
right.
Here's the best way to reach me, and you can get more information.
Okay.
And that is 313-4-8-6-1-6. If you want to see more and see the quilts, please go to our website, and the website will can get you to Facebook. But
that
the
was one of the questions I had written down. Go ahead.
Yeah, the website www.rememberme.quiltproject.org, and that's real easy to remember. And when you go there, you can get to the Facebook and other things.
All right. All right. 2 years old, what do you see yourself a year from now?
We have some really poignant things happen to us, and it makes us want to have that happen.
All right.
We were just at Messiah Church for Fallen Angels Night.
Right.
Charles Duff was there, and he was presenting, and he turned and pointed to the four quilts on the altar, and he said, "We need to work until we don't have more people to put on quilts."
Okay.
So, yeah, that is one. The second thing is we have really high hopes because this quilt project is so impactful that it will be replicated in other states.
All right.
When we talk about, we can make a difference in Michigan, but we don't want to make a difference in Michigan. We want to make a difference in the nation so we can change it. That's the same thing I'm talking about with groups all being involved. We need this project replicated in other states so that together we can make change, not just a difference.
All right, Becca. There's a poem that you have.
It is.
Okay.
Sometimes I have a hard time finishing it.
All right.
But every event that we do, we end with a poem because it represents what the project is about, what the families feel, and what all the people, all the volunteers, we would not survive without our volunteers. It's called I Am a Person. It's dedicated to the families of the victims of gun violence. I was a person, shot down not to be. I was a person. Please don't forget me. I was a person with a loving family. I was a person. Please don't forget me. I was a person, a future not to be. I was a person. Please don't forget me. I am a person, not a number you see. I am a person. Please don't forget me. I am a person on a quilt for all to see. I am a person. You will remember me. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And that was Sandy North from the
Remember Me Quilt Project of Michigan.
Okay. And if you want to get further information, you can contact her again and give the last time, give your telephone number again.
Sure. 313-434-8616. And thank you for having us on the station.
And thank you very much. And you have been listening to Impact at WHFR Radio. Season's greetings from Betty Daniels from Impact on Fourth Tuesday. Want to wish all listeners a very happy, safe holiday and make sure you continue to tune in to Impact on Fourth Tuesday or any Tuesday at 1 o'clock. Season's greetings and be safe and happy.
And you're listening to WHFI Dearborn. All you guys and dolls out there, you're at the malt shop with Daddy G. And we're going back to the 50s and the 60s, as usual, at the malt shop. So hang those fuzzy dice on the rearview mirror and grab your favorite squeeze and head on down to the malt shop. Join me where the kids are dancing, the jukebox is playing. And here we are, back in the 50s.
You know I can be found sitting home all alone. If you can't come around, at least please tell the phone. Don't be cruel to who heart is true. Baby, if I made you mad for something I might have said, please don't forget my past. The future looks bright ahead. Don't be cruel to who heart is true. I don't want no other love, baby, it's just you I'm thinking of. Don't stop the hanging up.